You're listening to TechNado. Welcome back, and thanks for joining us for another episode of TechNado. Quick reminder, TechNado is sponsored by ACI Learning, the folks behind IT Pro, and you can use that code TechNado30 for a discount on your IT Pro membership. I was trying to beat my record. There you go.
That was quick.
Welcome and thank you for being here. We are excited to get into today's news. We got some breaking stuff. We got some behind bars. We even got some pork chop sandwiches towards the end. And
yeah, indeed.
I think you're going to enjoy it. I think Daniel's a little tired today.
I'm a little pissed off is what I am.
Do you want to share the story or no? It's not worth it.
The vending machine guy that or whomever that stuffs our vending machine is a moron. And has impeded my slow poisoning of myself with Monster because instead of refilling the row, which was not empty, by the way, and putting the new cans of Monster in the back, they put them in the front. So when I vented out my Monster can, it was piss warm.
It's true. It was. It was temperate.
It's like the one little creature comfort in life that I look forward to is one time a week as I get my Monster. And I do TechNado with you good folks.
And they ruined it. They ruined it. So if Daniel seems a little grumpy
out of
today,
sorts.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
My wife last night, she said, "You're turning into a grumpy old man." I'm like, well, I am an old man. Yeah. I feel like it just comes with the territory. Yeah.
It's at least half true.
I look forward to spiraling into full curmudgeon-y.
But we're still going to enjoy today's episode, even if it's even if there's a little bit less energy in Daniel's system and he can't poison himself.
Listen,
today.
We're getting to the 2-minute mark and we haven't talked about tech news. Right. There's some people out there that are ready to like put us on.
Well,
pikes.
Then let's get into it. We are going to start off with one of our favorite segments: breaking news.
Breaking news.
I just had a minor heart attack.
You didn't know Christian was going to do that?
I had no clue.
Christian likes to come in the speakers and give us our sound effects, so we appreciate that. First up, for breaking news today, McAfee unveils tool to identify potential deepfakes. Pretty cool.
Do you
say
McAfee or McAfee?
I say McAfee only because, like...
McAfee? Is it M-A-C?
It may be. It's not, but like...
So I say McAfee.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just how I've always heard pronounced it, McAfee. What do you think? Yeah. Let us know.
How is it pronounced? Yeah,
give us your input. We'd love to hear it.
I want to hear from John himself. So, how he pronounces his last name.
Yeah, let's talk to him.
Yeah.
At least his first name's easy.
Yeah.
But McAfee, JM, good old JM, has introduced a tool to detect deepfakes. It's been added to that JM portfolio. It's going to be made available on PCs. So this is, I think, has a potential to be a great thing. Usually anytime I see something involving AI and deepfakes, I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. Because it's talked about all the time. But in this case... deepfakes are becoming a real problem.
Yeah, they're getting really good at what they do. And if you read this article, it specifically starts calling out the idea of like, yes, well, there are video deepfakes and you know, just like image deepfakes. The ones that are most common and most commonly used, especially to, you know, pilfer the pockets of the poor population out there. There's a lot of P's in that sentence. Is the audio deepfakes, right?
Yeah.
I can generate an audio deepfake, makes it sound like I'm your granddaughter or whoever, and we just had an accident. I need some money.
Yeah.
And blah, 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 blah. And, or if you go take it into the corporate sphere where, hi, I'm your CFO, or I'm with finance, or I'm your direct supervisor, or whatever the case is. And they use that to kind of like get you to do something you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Click a link. Hey, I'm going to send you this. Make sure you click that, fill out that form, and do X, Y, and Z. And you're none the wiser because, yeah, the deepfake audio technology is phenomenally good.
Mm-hmm.
We messed around with deepfake in your voice at one time, didn't we?
We did. Christian created some fun little clips of my voice doing stuff, and it doesn't always work perfectly. Like there was one we did, and it just made it made me start screaming in the middle of the audio.
Yeah.
Like it was funny. It was just kind of jarring because
that was the normal part. It was
the screaming was
coherent
fine.
Sentences.
The speech was.
I was like, "There's no way this is Sophia.
She can't read past third grade level. There's no way that's her.
No. She was raised by wolves.
Like as funny as it was kind of jarring because it's like, that's my voice. And that's like, I definitely didn't do that. It's just, it's odd. It's off-putting.
It's
so
super weird.
I think you're right in that. And even if there's not criminal intent behind it, like the examples you were giving about like, they need money and all that kind of stuff. It's still, I feel like can be misleading because you might get somebody that doesn't really know that that's as big of a problem as it is. Mm-hmm. And they hear like a celebrity or a political candidate saying something.
Yeah.
And unless it's like outlandishly ridiculous.
If you want to watch them play CSGO and
yeah,
Listen to the, the headphones.
Those are so good. They're so
very
funny.
They're very funny.
So it has potential to be a fun, good thing.
I feel like that alone justifies its existence.
Just stop there.
Yeah.
Only CSGO.
Just go that far. We're good, right?
That's it. But yeah, I think this is good news. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. I've gotten to the point where now I'm like paranoid, and I'll see. Christian did like a promo for one of our courses, and I genuinely was like, oh, you used AI generated footage in that, because there was like stock footage of people. No, they were real people, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's no, she blinked too slow. It's AI. It's not. So I'm like paranoid now.
Slow.
She's like doing this slow lizard blink, and I'm just like, there's no way that's real.
But I just literally saw there was this baby that was born recently that had six fingers on each hand, and I'm like, everybody's going to believe every one of her photos is AI.
If that
it has
poor
any
kid.
Hands in it.
Oh, that poor
like,
kid.
Like, that's AI. It's not real. It's not a real person.
So I would say, as far as breaking news goes, that's a pretty positive one. It's neat that the...
Yeah, we're doing something.
Working on something to try to combat these issues that come up.
Help you figure it out.
Of course, we do have to have some black pill.
Oh, no. Most of it's dumpster fire.
Most of it's awful. Most of it's just terrible. So on the other side of our breaking news segment, we have cyber attack disrupts microchip technology manufacturing facilities. Oh, great. Another cyber attack. And again, this is breaking. So this just happened, or this just... This broke.
This technology. I'm reading the article.
So
this article...
So I don't know. I know usually a lot of times when like, oh, hey, there was an attack or there was a breach, it'll be like, well, we don't have any details yet. We got to wait. There it is. So I'm not sure.
They don't. They have no details.
Oh, okay. So this is normal. This is standard procedure.
Yeah, step one. It's just the fact that it was a microchip, and they're called Microchip Technology. That is the name of the company. They have disclosed a cyber attack that has impacted operations at some of its manufacturing facilities. And they do say, and I quote, as a result of the incident, certain of the company's manufacturing facilities are operating at less than normal levels, and the company's ability to fulfill orders is currently impacted. The company is working diligently to bring the affected portions of its IC systems back online, restore normal business operations, and mitigate the impact of the incident. Unfortunately, they make computer chips for 123,000 customers across the industrial, automotive, consumer, aerospace, defense, communications, and computing sectors. That's a problem.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah. To know that. So the little bit of detail they did give in this is that it seems like they're hinting that it's a ransomware attack.
Mm.
So they get crypto unlocked. They're back to business. But how much do you trust? Like, we're making chips. This is a supply chain for some fairly, important industries, aerospace, defense, communications.
Yeah.
Who is the attacker? Where are they from? And what are their motivations? Yeah, it's always nice to pull some dollars out of the pockets of your victims there, but.
But for this specifically, and I mean, I would imagine it probably takes a pretty sophisticated attack to unless their security practices were just awful behind the scenes.
It's funny. Did they say, it does say, it says the company is working diligently. So it does say something about the IT systems. I want to say that the company revealed in a regulatory filing on Tuesday that it detected suspicious activity on its IT systems on August 17th. And on August 19th, it determined that certain servers and business operations had been disrupted. So is it just in the IT, like only their IT systems were affected and that's what's causing the slowdowns in the manufacturing of their chips, or are the OT systems also been affected? We don't know.
Like somebody was able to get access to IT systems and then through that we're able to get access to.
Imagine they make a chip that runs a robot that makes welds, right? Yeah. It's a welder. And I remember hearing this at like RSA and that chip has now been affected. It's been compromised to where the weld that the robot makes isn't up to the standards. To the human eye, it looks fine, but in all actuality, it's not meeting the standard, and that it becomes like a bridge beam, right? That's a problem.
Right.
These are issues we'd like to avoid because somebody thought it would be a good idea to affect how well that robot does its job by affecting the chip that runs the robot. You get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't know if it's going to go that far. I don't know exactly. Maybe these are all just blank chips, but maybe they're putting backdoors into them. Who knows what's going on? And it's affecting chips. And God knows we've been through what happens when we don't have enough chips.
Yeah.
We've gone through a chip shortage in the recent past, and that's not fun for anyone.
Yeah, our vending machine, it was totally empty. I'm sorry. I don't mean to trigger
you. I will find you and I will rule you.
I don't mean to
trigger.
You've
never seen the movie Ready to Rumble.
Mm-mm.
Very entertaining.
Okay. I'll add it.
Very entertaining. David Arquette and Scott Kahn, speaking, not Goodfellas, but the Godfather, right? His father is, he played Sonny. His father's Sonny.
Really?
In The Godfather. Yeah, I can't. There's something.
Oh, James. Kahn. James. Yeah, James Kahn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His name was escaping me. Yeah. Huh. Scott Kahn's.
Okay. Son. Interesting.
He was
I didn't
in that
know
movie.
That.
It was at the height of wrestling entertainment.
Ah.
It
okay.
is all about wrestling. It's got Ready to Rumble. Very funny.
Is it better or worse than the other like martial arts movies you've had me watch? Like fighting movies?
So it is a comedy.
Okay.
Right? So.
Like intentionally, it's a comedy.
It's intentionally funny.
Okay.
And
interesting.
And does do the job.
All right.
It's very dated at this point now, so it'd be kind of like watching a time capsule.
Well, most of the movies you have me watch are kind of, it's kind of like
I
that.
I mean, they talk about like Britney Spears and stuff being relevant.
Oh, okay. Well, she is still relevant, just in a very different way. Yeah.
Is she?
Now she's relevant because people are like, is she okay?
Not her music, though.
Of course, I guess that's always kind of been a thing. Is she okay? Is Britney doing okay?
Girl's been through a lot. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So on both sides of the breaking news coin, we have some good news. We have some maybe not so good news, and we'll have to see how this plays out in the future. But moving on to some not as breaking, but still recent
relatively
news.
New?
Still relatively new. Yeah, new news. Sure, recent
news.
New news. So we have this. You probably have already heard about this.
Most likely.
And maybe you're a little concerned. I had like my mom and stuff reach out to me and be like, what is going on and why didn't we know about this?
For those of you in the back that have yet to hear.
Yes. National Public Data confirmed that there was a breach exposing some Social Security numbers. And, isn't that fun? And, of course, other data as well. But it was, I believe, like a couple billion records, if I'm remembering correctly. And
billions?
So
I thought it was like 270 million. I thought it was 270-something million.
Okay. So the leak started after a threat actor in April used the alias US DOD to offer to sell for $3.5 million.
$2.9 billion records.
So that is no small potatoes.
Yeah.
In theory, could be every individual in the United States. Their social security number. So freeze your credit, you know, just to be safe. But this is something that it came up in recent weeks, and it wasn't until like this past week that there was a little bit more information about it.
Yeah, right. Because that's how all things start, right? There's we've realized something may have happened and now we have to investigate it and then verify, there was a security incident and now we have to disclose especially if we're under a regulation or legal ramifications necessary. Since this was, if I'm not mistaken, a government entity that holds this, obviously that must be, transparency. That's what we hope for. Was it a government agency?
I'm curious. So National Public Data is the organization.
Yeah.
But I don't
know.
But
they're like a contractor for the government, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Was it a .gov site?
You know how I don't know. Public data. You know how there are some organizations that seem like they'd be government organizations, but they're actually privately owned?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if it's one of those.
So no, it says nationalpublicdata.com.
So it is but they may.
Oh, right. They probably do a lot of work for government and stuff. So. The fact that they were holding all the data on just about everybody on planet Earth.
It's kind of scary.
Right? That has ever touched the computer.
Because it's used for background checks and stuff.
Right.
But the fact that it was just one click away or one breach away from
right.
this just spilling out and being available everywhere. So it was a list or a collection of data that appeared from this user, USDOD, which is not the Department of Defense. It's just the username they chose.
It's just,
clearly
the threat actor.
This year, I don't know that that's representative of the Department of Defense.
Man, obviously, that's NSA.
Yes. This is their profile picture chosen.
So I was at a B-Sides one time in Vegas, and the NSA was there, and they were recruiting.
Oh.
they did not, sponsor a booth or anything. They just grabbed a table. Like a stand-up table, like a cocktail table, and they took a pizza box, and they wrote NSA with a marker, and it said, "Yes, that NSA, we are recruiting. Please talk to one of the agents about a possible
interesting
employment opportunity."
I feel like that to me, I'd be like, "Sure, you're with the NSA.
Right?
Sure, you are.
Yeah,
seems, yeah,
Seems unreasonable. They just thought they were being funny.
You can have all my information.
Which, I mean, to them, if you think about it, if it was the actual NSA that did that, not the breach, but the pizza boxing, right? That was actually really brilliant.
Yeah.
Because what you think NSA, you think stodgy, you think government.
Suits, earpieces. Right.
Yeah. I got to wear a suit and tie. And they're like having fun and showing you that they can have fun. Now, that may be a total lie. They are the NSA, by the way.
Yeah, right. That is true.
It's kind of their stock and trade. It's a lot of people.
fair enough.
Collect information.
Fair enough.
But yeah. I just thought that was like, if that really is them, I thought it was.
It's pretty funny.
Everybody wanted to stop and talk to that booth.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
That is pretty creative.
That table with a pizza box on it.
That's pretty creative.
Yeah. Back to this, though.
Yeah. Like with any other leak, it's, of course, you know, when personal information is out there, you got to beware of phishing attacks and stuff because people will use your information, you know, for all kinds of nefarious stuff just to try to convince you, hey, click on this link. But in this case, whenever you see like social security number, that is like, oh boy, that's pretty scary. That's not just my email address. This is pretty big deal. So for your credit, monitor financial accounts for signs of potentially fraudulent activity, that kind of stuff. There's really not much you can do other than that, right? Because it's like, well.
Yeah, freeze your credit.
Right? It's leaked. Like, it's out there.
Yeah. Once, you know? Like, are you going to change your social security number?
There's a chance you're not one of the 2.9
billion.
Can
you change your social security number? I feel like you probably can.
But I feel like it's like.
It's got to be like some serious rigmarole.
You can't go to the DMV and get like a copy of your registration without providing like seven different documents. Can you change, I wonder, your SSN? Let's find out.
Yeah, I've seen wood turn into petrified stone faster than the DMV move. So,
it's meant to stay with you for life and never change, but it does say to apply, you must visit a Social Security office in person, so you can apply for a new one, I guess maybe if you...
I wonder how difficult that is to do.
You carry out an experiment. Technado on location next week at the local...
Well, it's like, can I get a new Social Security card just because I want one? Or, I mean, I can make a viable case, right, of... My data is compromised. I remember when I was a kid, I want to say that the Social Security cards used to say on them, or maybe they still do, or that maybe I'm just, you know, Mandela affecting this, that this is not to be used as identification. This is not an ID.
Right.
Right? Don't use it for identification. We use it for identification all the time. Mm. All the time. And that's why it's on all these databases, because it's tied to your ID. And now it's like, maybe that was smart and we should go back to that. Stop using social security numbers.
Yeah. Well, because then if something does happen, it's like, well, you're screwed. That's the only number you get for life. So what are you supposed to do? And they have reasons listed of like what they'll do or the cases in which they'll
assign. Bump the font on that. Control plus that a bit. There we go.
The cases in which they'll assign a different one. So sequential numbers are causing problems.
Same family.
If people get the same number, victim of identity theft, harassment, abuse, or life endangerment. Certain numbers. Oh, I guess like if you're Christian and you get like 666 in your social security number.
This is religiously offensive.
And you're like, I don't want that. I don't want that bad.
So I just have to create a religion.
Yeah.
Make my number the
I have 1, 2, 3.
Antithesis of said religion.
Yeah, exactly. Just give me a new one.
Yeah, I'll have to, I'll go through it, man. I'll get a 501(c). right? Now what it is? 501(c). Isn't that the
you're
nonprofit?
Gonna do? You're gonna carry out this experiment?
Yeah, I'm gonna L. Ron Hubbard this.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see how that plays out for
you. New SSN, and then like everything that has ever been tied to me is now just garbage.
Now, you found a kind of a different thread on this story that relates to this from Krebs on Security that has to do with the National Public Data publishing its own passwords. So this is something that Daniel dug up here, and I'm not dug up. It's recent. It's
a
couple days ago. So they published their own passwords. I would say that's still bad. I don't know that it's as bad as social security numbers, but that's still
no. This is the thing you want to avoid if you like security. Security is usually done way better than this.
Usually,
where you don't put plain text passwords of how to log into your site in the like source code of the site, or in a zip file that's on the index page. Landing page of your site. That's just a bad idea.
Generally not considered a best practice.
I wouldn't do it. Let me put it that way. I wouldn't do that. Because that's a great way, apparently, to get a bunch of records leaked to the dark web.
So it would seem. Yeah, absolutely.
See, how interesting is this, though, that this is something that happened in today's day and age?
Yeah.
The fact that somebody's running a website. Now, let me see here. It does say... That the review of that archive. Okay. That's
members.zip was the name of the archive.
Yeah. Members.zip. But I think this was like a third party, right? Was it actually the NPD?
Or
was it a different site?
Says that it was that cybercriminal USDOD guy that began selling data stolen from the NPD.
Yeah.
In July, somebody leaked what was taken. NPD acknowledged it in August, in early August.
So it's a records check. Records check is the site.
Okay.
So here it is. A review of that archive, which was available from the records check website until just before publication this morning, shows that is, right? Is records check the site?
It says, so the exposed archive indicates records check users were all initially signed the same six-character password and instructed to change it, but many did not. So it sounds like the members in this members zip file are records check users.
Correct. But is that the NPD site? Is records check a subdomain or a landing page, like an endpoint in the NPD site? Or is records check its own site? Because I remember reading about how the guy that runs the records check thing he's like an actor.
Yeah.
That started this site. And they were like a third party that were basically facilitated for the NPD.
What's he been in?
Am I wrong? It's like four.
No, you're right.
I looked up his IMDb. Yeah.
He's an actor.
Am I just looking over this? I do not see that information here.
The only connection I can see is that the passwords that were included in that archive are identical to credentials exposed in data breaches involving that guy's email accounts.
Okay.
So that's the connection there.
Gotcha.
And he is the founder of the NPD, of the National Public Data.
Oh.
That's NPD's founder, actor, and retired sheriff's deputy. Yeah. Salvatore Verini.
This is crazy.
It is crazy talk. So it's a bit chaotic.
He's a retired actor / sheriff.
Yeah, sheriff's deputy. What a resume.
Sal Verini. This sounds like he's like a magician.
Yeah, he sounds.
Sal Verini. So what's funny, in the movie Ready to Rumble, we're back there, right? It's all about Ready to Rumble today.
It's only a matter of time.
They hire a wrestling coach, and his name is Sal Bandini.
Oh, wow.
And he says, Sal Bandini, you want to wrestle? And he's like this old man. And he just wrecks him. It's so funny.
That's like remarkably close
to
Sal Verini.
I'm like, what
That's
is kinda happening?
That's kind of weird. What are the odds?
It's some sort of like, it's obviously a simulation we're in.
I feel like, Salvatore Verini sounds like the name of like a snake oil salesman that I would see. Now, I'm not saying that this guy is. I'm not trying to insult him. I'm just saying that name sounds to me like Salvatore Verini, step right up and buy your blah, 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 blah. It sounds like a very character-y name.
Yes.
But yeah, so bad luck for Sal. Sorry about your luck, Sal. That sucks for you. And bad luck for NPD and bad luck for records check.
Lesson learned. Don't put that kind of stuff in plain text on your landing page.
Don't put your member's zip file
just saying
there
as a download link
For everybody to see. Yeah.
Right. That's a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
We cannot comment, it says, at this point because it's an open investigation and it makes me look really bad.
Right.
Part I might have op-edited, but...
That's always it, isn't it? We cannot comment at this time. We don't have any details.
Right.
And also, I'm panicking a little bit. So
yeah.
We'll wait on that one.
I've had four cry sessions this morning alone.
So maybe in the future, this guy, this USDOD guy that's been responsible for this stuff, maybe he'll get his just desserts.
Maybe.
We do see that happen sometimes here on Technado. We see people end up... In a lovely, what do you call it? A state-sponsored prison or something? State-sponsored hotel? A
county hotel.
County hotel? Yeah, that's what you call it. So anyway, speaking of which, this is Behind Bars.
I was ready. Behind Bars.
All right. Poor Christian. I just like spring that on him out of nowhere. So, on the positive side of things, hackers linked to $14 million holograph crypto heist. Oh, is he doing the effect now?
I have no idea.
We've lost control of the show.
Listen.
Things are off the rails.
We're all pretty drunk.
So. Except for you. You didn't get your drink this morning.
It's a real burr in my saddle. I'm not going to lie. And you keep kicking that scab open.
Poor
not
Daniel.
Helping.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so people were arrested. They committed a crime and they got arrested. So going a little bit more into detail.
They're probably filling vending machines with bullshit.
This happened in Italy. These hackers were linked to a $14 million holograph crypto heist, and that is no small amount of money. And of course, they got the AI-generated V for Vendetta mask anonymous hackers up there.
Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes, yes. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Yeah.
I only watched it because it had Natalie Portman in it.
Remember, the 5th of November.
I'm glad I watched it because she was great in that movie. So their police force found there was 4 individuals suspected.
People should watch that movie.
V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. It's, if nothing else, it's a very well-done movie. And also,
it's a good one, if you haven't seen it, is Equilibrium. Christian Bale.
Is that the one where they take pills so they don't feel emotion?
Yes.
Okay. You told me about that a while ago.
Ah, great flick.
But I haven't watched it. And I like Christian
Bale. Great flick. If you like action, dystopian futures, and Christian Bale and, what is it, Sean Bean, I think, even though he dies.
Ah, okay.
Really interesting flick.
I do like dystopian futures when they're not.
I'll give you
a
fun little weird fact that you might not notice until you notice it, is that so when people get shot in the movie, like puffs of dust come off of their body. And when I was watching this in, what was it, 99 or 2000, whenever I saw this, I was like, are they mummy people? What is happening here? Why?
Huh.
Why is every time somebody gets shot, like blasts of concrete?
Yeah.
Dust flying off of their body. It was very strange. But hey, it worked.
Oh, so you don't know why?
No, there's sword fights as well, by the way.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like, oh, because, yeah, fun fact, they're actually made out of plaster. I thought it was going
to
be
I haven't sold it to you enough, I'm going to say 2 words and just look it up. Gun kata.
Gun kata.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'm going to go home and watch this movie.
Okay. I'll look
that
up. That
lifted my spirits just thinking about it.
I'll look that up on a non-work-sponsored machine.
No, there's nothing dangerous about it.
I don't know if I trust you.
Nor should you.
But anyway, speaking of danger, criminals arrested. Yeah, jumping into the theater. No, that's okay. That's okay. I do appreciate the movie recommendations. It was 4 folks suspected of cybercrime and money laundering. They had been living in a luxury villa, as they usually do. Way to lay low, you know? I feel like if I had stolen all this money and been, don't they say like in all the mob movies, like don't buy, make any big purchases, don't buy anything big.
I believe in the movie that you have on your shirt.
Yes. Yes.
That
what
was
I
referenced.
Say. It's like, it's in my mother's name. It's no big deal. Take it back.
What does he do? He goes out and buys the biggest Cadillac.
Yeah.
Right.
And Henry Hill
or Lincoln
says,
or whatever
these guys are crazy. And then he goes and buys the most expensive Christmas
tree.
Yeah. And it's just, come on, common sense. So these guys clearly, and that took place in Italy, or the movie didn't, but this took place in Italy.
Yeah.
So
Sal Bandini.
He's coming back. It's full circle.
That's right.
There were some arrests, some seizures, not that kind.
14.
And 2 of the 4 individuals were arrested. The other 2 were investigated, but for now, they're free. So we'll see if they get brought in at a later date. But they seized cryptocurrency, wallet, private keys, codes, ledger keys, various electronic devices. And the remainder of the stolen funds will be returned to Holograph, presumably.
Well, good for them.
So that's good.
The story has a happy ending.
I would say it's as happy as an ending as it can be.
You know, think about being the 2 douchebags that did this, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, they believe this was an insider threat.
They
believe it was people that were either like contractors or whatever that worked, and they had inside knowledge of their systems.
I think
and that is how
malicious actors exploited a smart contract flaw that allowed them to arbitrarily mint 1 billion HLG, which is Holograph's token.
It's down at the bottom.
But it's entirely possible. And I would imagine having inside access to that stuff would make pulling something off like this a whole lot easier.
That's an issue.
So
insider threats becoming a lot more. But I'm just thinking to myself, I'm these guys, I got $14 million. I am living it up. I'm basically a movie criminal at this point, because I'm in Italy.
This is Ocean's 11.
And I'm making it rain on people and, the Ferrari down there, mine, right? And, what do you mean the police are here? what would they like to speak to me about? Obviously, I'm a legitimate businessman.
I earned this money fair and square. I got it playing craps in Vegas.
Exactly.
You can't prove anything.
No, you cannot.
And this was, I believe, USD, I'm pretty sure. So even more. Worth even more in Italy.
Maybe this was wrong. We read a lot of articles and they kind of bleed together.
Yeah, they do bleed together. Also,
I was reading another cryptocurrency and maybe that was what it was. There was another cryptocurrency breach.
It's entirely possible.
And it was, that's what it was. It was a different one.
So whatever's left presumably will be returned to Holograph, which is great. It's funny because like you read about stuff like this and like as a kid when it's in movies and stuff and there was a heist or something was stolen. The happy ending is people get their money back. They get their stuff back. Like, and it's almost never like that in real life. Like, if I had a bunch of money stolen out of my bank account, I probably would not get a lot of that back. Because it's like, well, all these charges were made on your card and we can't, we can stop it and we can maybe get the guy that did it. But, I mean, I don't know, unless I go to court. Like, I don't know what I would do to get that money back. There's a good chance I won't see a lot of it.
Yeah. So you know, you're insured by your bank and the FDIC that mm-hmm. if they prove that it's fraud, then up to $100,000.
Right.
So.
Which I definitely don't have.
You should get your money back.
So maybe I'd be good.
Yeah. Those charges would be, but they'd have to prove there would be an investigation. And then if they deem that it was fraud, you'll get your money.
It'd probably take a little bit.
Yeah.
It can't.
My wife had $1,000 stolen out of her account. And she was like, oh no, what's happening? So we called the bank and props to Wells Fargo. They just went, oh, you can have your money back. Like, it was a phone call. I went, yeah, you're good.
That's nice.
Here's your money back. We'll put a freeze on that.
Huh.
Because they hadn't actually transferred the funds yet.
So it was like still pending?
Yeah, it was in a pending okay. stage. I'm like, why did they
That's
do
good.
That?
That's good.
What's the purpose of that? It was like, yeah, it was like a grand. And so they just said, yeah, we just canceled the transaction. And now you're good.
For all their faults, I know Wells Fargo's had some bumps over the years.
They have been, in my experience with them, had another person trying to use our card.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me. And I was like, yeah, bull crap.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo doesn't call me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They send me something. They're like, by all means, call us back. Call a number and ask my name is such and such. I said, okay. Click. And I went to Wells Fargo. And I found the support line. And I called it. And I asked for whoever it was, Bill. And I was like, hey, Bill. He's like, told you.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, in my experience, I know that they've had some bumps, just like every organization has. But in my experience, I've always been happy with Wells Fargo. Yeah. And they, I think I told you, my brother was trying to rent an apartment. He's
trying to steal your money.
Right, well, maybe when he was younger, sure. Yeah. that's why I don't live at home anymore. But he was trying to rent an apartment, and somebody was like, oh, yeah, you've got people that will lease to college students, like older folks that are like, yeah, my kids are all moved out. I've got this spare bedroom. If you want to rent from me, that's fine. And so it's not abnormal, at least in the area he was looking. And so didn't think anything of it. And it wasn't until he'd already tried to pay a deposit a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I remember. We were together when that happened.
We were at HackSpaceCon. And my mom's like, hey, so I think somebody might be trying to steal money. And I'm like, hang on. And there's of course, the signal's crap. And I'm like, great. This is the worst time.
We were
time.
Inside of a giant metal building.
Yeah, it's like a tin can.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, hang on. I'm trying to eat my $100 hamburger from the cafeteria. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, give me a second. And it was the only reason that the person that was trying to take advantage of them didn't succeed was because Wells Fargo blocked every single one of them. Was like, this looks weird. This user looks suspicious. And it was three or four attempts. And so they could have easily, okay, fine. But they didn't. And it was only because of Wells Fargo blocking. This is not sponsored by Wells Fargo, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm happy to have them. And I think they, especially on an individual level, they do good work. But these guys got arrested.
One of my many happy banks.
Day. One of your many. Yeah, he keeps his money divided
That's
up.
That's right. It doesn't sit all in one pot.
It's in offshore accounts.
That's right.
I'm kidding. Caymans. I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, lots of big money that we're talking about here. We are going to take a quick break just so we're reaching about the halfway point of the show, but we have more big money news coming up, so don't go away. We'll be right back here on Technado. Hey, I'm Sophie Goodwin, edutainer at ACI Learning and subject matter expert for our new course, Cybersecurity Fundamentals. If you're new to cybersecurity, this is the course for you. Anyone from high school students to professional switching careers, these episodes are designed for you as an introduction to essential security terms and concepts. So we'll walk through security principles, governance, risk and compliance, access controls, threats and attacks, incident response, network security, and we'll look at some best practices for security operations. Security doesn't have to be scary. Check out Cybersecurity Fundamentals in the ACI Learning course library. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. It is approximately 4 degrees in here. My hands are numb and I am ready.
Yeah. I cannot feel my fingers.
It is crazy. That's why we have to type so much to keep the feeling in them. If you are enjoying this episode, we hope that you'll consider subscribing so you never miss an episode in the future. Leave a like if you're enjoying this episode and comment down below. Let us know what you enjoyed, what you want to see in the future. And we do love to hear opinions on these stories.
Yeah.
So make sure to do that. We'll give you a positive Yelp review.
Do the thing.
Or something. Yeah. But I did promise that we had another story that had to do with some big money. And I was not lying. I'm not going to make a liar of myself. AMD signed a $4.9 billion deal to challenge NVIDIA's AI infrastructure lead. Now, upon reading this, initially I was like, oh, great. Another acquisition of... Because we talked a while ago about that, how Microsoft was acquiring companies and it was like this really big deal, like huge money. And it was like, wow, Microsoft's just going to go around and buying up all these smaller businesses or companies.
Fun fact, Bill Gates is one of the largest farm owners in the world.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We could probably.
Cattle.
That's odd.
Cattle farms. Yeah.
That's really odd.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. That's a whole podcast episode in and of itself.
What are you doing, Bill? Yeah.
My mom's going to have something to say about that one.
I like to throw conspiracy stuff just like a grenade. There you go, kids. Have fun.
I'm going to get a phone call about that later. Yeah. My grandma's going to be like, so Sophie. But in this case, it seems to me like AMD's trying to be a more, I don't know, worthy competitor, I guess, of NVIDIA, because NVIDIA's like got the lead on this stuff. And so to me, it's like, I think competition's always great. I think it's great to have competition.
It only benefits the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this case, if buying this, they bought a company called ZT Systems. It's an artificial intelligence infrastructure group that, I guess, years ago they used to be called ZT Group, and they weren't involved in AI or anything. They sold other stuff, and it's only recently they've gotten into the AI game, as everybody has. But $4.9 billion cash in stock transactions. So this group, I mean, that's a win for ZT Systems. That is them making out like a
bandit. Yeah, they're going to be able to buy a new house or something
for
their mother.
A new Earth. How much does the Earth cost?
Yeah, how much does the Earth cost?
So this group, AMD, is a California-based group. They said that they're hoping this accelerates the adoption of, they have a line of AI data center chips called the Instinct line, and they're supposed to compete directly with NVIDIA's GPUs. So it will be interesting to see if they do hold up to that standard and if they can provide some good competition to that. But it's just like, you look at this stuff and it's like, that's more money that I could ever imagine in my entire life. And this is just like, yeah, just cost of doing business. Oh,
how much was it? $4.9 billion?
$4.9 billion.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but like when Disney bought the Star Wars franchise in like 2009 or so, it was $4.5 billion.
$4.05 billion.
$0.5 billion.
In the form of cash and stock.
And that was many years ago. Does that mean the Star Wars franchise is worth more than AI?
That's a good question.
Right?
To be fair, the Star Wars franchise, I feel like, has been around, at least in the public eye, a lot longer than AI.
Agreed, but it's just interesting thought to put those two things together.
And this isn't even the biggest acquisition that AMD has gone through. They bought a company called Xilinx, X-I-L-I-N-X, for $35 billion in 2022. $35 billion.
Whoa.
Like, are you kidding me? That's insane.
That's a lot of money.
And I'm hoping that this isn't like a typo, because watch it be like, oh, we meant million. Sorry. I think, yeah, no, $35 billion. That is insane. And this other article says that it was $49 billion. Somewhere up in the tens of billions of dollars was their last acquisition back in 2022. So this isn't even the biggest acquisition they've undergone.
So AMD's doing okay monetarily.
They're doing fine.
Right? Apparently NVIDIA hasn't hurt them too bad.
Right. Yeah. NVIDIA, it sounds like, has the lead on this stuff, but AMD is coming up fast.
Someone in the comment section said it'll be interesting to see if this is just, if this is, quote, just in time for the AI crash, end quote, as companies start realizing that they haven't figured out how to make any money from this AI stuff yet. Mm? That's funny.
That is interesting.
Interesting.
There were a couple comments that were like, I don't know if this is conspiracy stuff, but it was like, oh, how convenient. AI becomes big just as Bitcoin mining starts to fizzle out. And they put AI in quotes. So I'm like, what is...
You just repurpose all your Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, what? Like what?
For AI.
Okay.
I mean, it's basically the same requirements.
Yeah.
You need a lot of GPU power, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
A fairly decent horse-powered system. And
that is interesting.
You're running AI. I was literally just looking up between the break. On how can I build an AI system at home for fun and profit? Or, I don't know about the profit.
No
part,
profit.
Definitely
for fun and loss of money.
Yeah, for fun and loss of money. Yeah, exactly. It'll just end up costing me
for fun and cost
to build the system that it requires to make AI at home. But
and it does seem like a lot of the consensus is that, hey, competition, this is great. But somebody did mention like, okay, yes, competition is good. But the lack of competition doesn't mean that more giant consolidation efforts are the answer. So both sides of it, you know,
you basically end up with just two companies that do it.
Right.
And that's not really competition.
That's true.
Enough, right?
If you only have, like, yes, you might, because what is that?
It'd be more decentralized.
A monopoly is like one company,
a monopoly
right?
Monopoly is one, yeah.
I don't think it would be an oligarchy, though, because an oligarchy is where, like, you have more than one company and they have, like, an agreement, right?
Oligarchy is kind of like a...
Or oligopoly. Oligopoly is what I'm thinking of. Sorry. I was going to say. Wrong word. Wrong word. Look, it's...
Why don't you ask ChatGPT what oligopoly is?
You stop it. You leave me alone. A state of limited competition. A market is shared by a small number of producers or sellers. So technically,
that would be it.
I thought I remembered learning about it, and it was like when you have competitors, but they kind of have an agreement to like, okay, I won't charge any more than this. If you don't charge any more than this, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Though.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're all in it together, even though we're separate.
Yeah. Some economist in the comments will be like, you idiots.
This is going to be the most based episode. We got Bill Gates buying farms and
So, somebody's gonna come out of their office and be like, stop the show.
Yes, none of this red pill stuff.
but anyway, so I saw $4.9 billion in the headline. I was like, whoa, that's not small potatoes. So I figured we would maybe mention that. And it is an interesting development. Good for AMD, I guess. We'll have to see how this plays out. We do have some gaming news.
Games.
Which is great.
I'm wearing a gaming shirt.
Oh my gosh, you are. I just noticed that. It didn't even register.
Atari.
Yeah, that's good.
Atari.
That's good. I think the people understood. I think they got it.
I don't know if you've heard of them.
You mean like the band?
Check them out.
Yeah. The Ataris, the band?
The Ataris.
They got some good stuff.
It's just a bunch of consoles sitting on the floor. eating
playing
music
like the
playing.
8-bit music that's playing. So there was, I think it was Gamescom or something that happened this week, and there was a bunch of games that were announced. But in other gaming news, Valve has confirmed it's going to support the ROG Ally, which is a handheld, with its Steam Deck operating system. And it's a competitor of Steam, technically.
Yeah, it is a Steam competitor, which makes you wonder what's in it for Valve.
Yeah,
like
to be like, sure.
Is access to Steam more important? Even though you probably still could. Okay, I haven't played with an ROG Ally.
I have not either.
But so the Steam Deck gives you access to your library on Steam, and you can stream those games on the Steam Deck.
Right.
Everybody's happy, right? It's a cool thing. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really nice piece of equipment. ROG Ally is a Windows-based computer with a screen and some joy. Like, it's really nice. Don't get me wrong. It was a really sweet machine. With all the, you know, it is a gaming console. It's a handheld gaming console.
Kind of looks like a PSP.
That's right. Yeah, it's running Windows 11.
Okay.
But
interesting.
Yeah, there's multiple versions of it. I think you're looking at a more recent one.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like a
PSP. Yeah, there you go. This thing's a beast, right? Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool looking.
But now it's supporting the Valve OS or Valve or Valve OS, the Steam OS. Ooh. What's in it for Valve to do this? Are they making more money on access to Steam through? There's got to be a monetary. There's no reason. They just out of the goodness of their heart go, you know what, competitor, just go ahead.
We just want to.
We have an oligopoly.
Help us.
Right? We're going to have a gentleman's agreement that this is cool. We're friends in some way.
I was really hoping to see some, because there's usually people in the comments that are like, there was going to be naysayers, like, you know, no matter what it is, it could be like water for everyone, like free water for third world countries. And people would be like, no, you know, like there's always going to be somebody that's against something. But there's nobody here that I can see that has that like, oh, well, this is bad.
Yeah.
It's or like, why are they doing this? Nobody's raised that point. Like, what's the motivation? There's got to be.
Right.
It sucks to feel like you have to be cynical like that, but it's like. Like you said, people don't just do this out of the kindness of their hearts.
I mean, it's business, right? Businesses are in businesses to do one thing, and that is make money.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care. Only the smaller businesses are really focused on their customers and really care, right? But once it becomes like corporate and enterprise level, it's just impossible. They have investors, they have boards, they have all this stuff that is behind them going, I don't care about your product. What I cared about was how fast you were growing.
Yeah.
And you pitched the idea that if I give you money, I'm going to get a bunch of money in return. And therefore, so once you're at that level, it becomes less about the customers per se and more about the return on the investment.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously Steam is at that level. They are no small mom and pop shop.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. That's just what's up. So what's in it for them? How do they see a return monetarily by opening this up? And I'm just not privy to that kind of I'm not deep enough in the weeds. I just saw this one was like, that's interesting.
Well, so Christian has an opinion. Christian has some input.
He did say, right.
He said he thinks that is to push developers to add more support for Linux and also to sell more games and to compete with the Epic Games Store. SteamOS kind of forces users to buy games on Steam and not their competitors.
Gotcha. So, I'm not familiar with the Epic Games Store.
Epic Games, don't they do like Clash of Clans or something? Epic Games is like one of those things where it's like you wouldn't know it just by the name, but then okay. It's like, oh, they have this, they have that. And you're like, oh, right, that game. Let's see.
It was very informative.
Oh, Epic Games does Fortnite.
Oh, okay.
That's the one I was thinking of. Fortnite. Like, I don't know Epic Games, but I know Fortnite.
Because you know, everybody knows Fortnite. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And they made a competitor.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So it increases their like landscape, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're basically kind of renting land over in ROG Ally.
I guess.
And other handhelds that they're going to eventually support, according to this. That they expect that to occur, that they're going to continue to open up support for other handheld systems.
Yeah.
Right? So that broadens their market to Steam, making them more money. There you go.
Seems like...
That seems to be the reasonable case.
It sounds like a win-win.
We'll go with it.
It seems like. Yes, we'll see. We're not going to end that article on a cynical note.
Right,
seems
because what does ROG do to give you games? Like, I know it's like an emulation station, right? So if you want to emulate, it's a powerhouse for emulation. You can do things like, what's it called, Moonlight? Mm. Where if I have like an Xbox or a PlayStation or something, I can Moonlight the game to the handheld.
Huh. Well, it comes bundled with 3 months of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for free.
All right, so obviously it has access.
There you go.
Xbox Game Pass. Probably you can also do PlayStation as well. So
interesting. Well, that's pretty cool. See, I've never used that handheld. The only handheld I think I've ever used is, I guess the Switch counts as a handheld because it's
a handheld.
Both.
Yep. It does. It's kind of a bridge between handheld and console.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Not sponsored by Switch, but we do enjoy the Switch.
That's neither. That's not an endorsement in any way. That's just a fact.
Yeah. And then the Nintendo DS. I did enjoy that.
Switch has an OLED screen, sponsored by. It's just a brute fact.
I don't know if the Wii U counts as a handheld because it had the gamepad that came with it.
Yeah. It was kind of a similar because that was right before the Switch.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was,
that was obviously them moving toward that style of system.
Yeah, it was like they were just getting close.
It had a dock, right?
Yeah, but it was separate. Like the Wii was still its own thing, but the gamepad came with it, and you could use it to to play Wii games, or you could play multiplayer. So like it wasn't a hybrid, but it was like
it
comes
with
both.
It was like proto hybrid.
It was like the step towards the Switch. Anyway, so yeah,
this was a fun conversation.
Although Valve is allowing SteamOS on a competitor device, and that's pretty cool. So Daniel. You brought this one up a couple days ago, and your general reaction to it was, what the hell is going on, or what the hell is this? So there's a zero-click exploit that is... zero-click exploit concerns are driving the urgent patching of a Windows TCP/IP flaw. And that by itself is like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
But there's a little more to it, it sounds like.
Well, the thing that made me go, what? And not that I... And once I, like, got over the... initial natural shock of it, you go, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? So, obviously, we're talking about the Windows TCP/IP zero-click flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Totally bad. Turn off IPv6 and you're good.
9.8.
is basically, it's
a
big deal.
Yeah.
Some people are saying it's a big deal and some people are saying it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that wasn't my big takeaway from the article, honestly.
Okay.
Right? Because this headline hit the news everywhere I saw this all over every single stinking news outlet was talking about this TCP/IP flaw with a Windows operating system. What really got me was, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Right here. Let's get into this. Under new vulnerability disclosure laws, companies and researchers in China are required to report vulnerabilities to a government authority for review prior to the issue being shared with the product or service owner. Experts have long warned that China-based nation-state threat actors are taking advantage of the legal mandate to, quote, stockpile 0 days for use in APT attacks.
Huh.
by law, if you're a researcher in China, you got to give over your findings to the government before you give it to the product vendor.
Interesting.
That is really interesting. I'm sure they just are like, hey, we're going to hold on to this for you.
Yeah.
Keep it safe. Just in case something bad might happen.
Yeah.
Not that they're involved in any kind of like ongoing massive APT nation state bull shenanigans. That's my new term.
Right, bull shenanigans?
Bull shenanigans.
Okay. Well, especially because it's not like the rule is that, okay, you've got to disclose this to the government and the product vendor or whatever, but you can't disclose it publicly. Like that, I could see like, okay, you don't want to disclose it publicly, maybe for security reasons, but you can't even share it with the vendor or service owner or whoever where you found the flaw. That to me is like,
right.
So I create a product and there's a flaw in it, I can't even know about it? Or like,
so obviously,
if it's discovered, you can't tell me about it.
Correct. Not yet.
Right.
Right. Big Brother needs it first.
Yeah.
Right. Again, welcome to the most based episode of.
I don't like that.
That right there is straight up Orwellian.
I don't like that.
That makes me feel bad inside. That's what goes on. Like we don't have that here.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very foreign to us. You know, in America, we will serve no sovereign.
Right.
You know, sneck bad, sneck hurt, sneck bite. Don't step on sneck.
Yeah, no step on sneck. There you go. Yeah, it's a bizarre concept. You're right, especially given the context that we live in, because it's like, I couldn't imagine that here.
Very crazy.
Now I'm just thinking of like a... I wonder if there's ever been a case where somebody has tried to disclose a vulnerability
question.
To like, because, you know, sometimes there'll be like, oh, Apple corrected this, Apple patched that or whatever,
right.
But doesn't disclose who told them about the vulnerability or what it was. They'll just say like, oh, it was patched.
Right. So
it's just like some dude in China that's like hiding. And he's like, I'm doing this for the good of humanity. New action movie.
Yeah. Well, let's continue down the line of thought right here. Let's say I'm a software vendor and I'm not even going to name a big tech company. I'm just going to say big tech company X.
Okay.
Actually, that is a tech company. It doesn't work anymore. Big tech company.
You tried.
J.
Yeah. J.
And not J, the letter, but like
J A Y.
J E I H.
Okay.
J.
J.
Right. I'm trying.
More of a sound than a name.
Help me. Help me help you.
Okay. So J.
I'm big tech company J. And a researcher in China has discovered a critical zero-day, zero-click, like, nightmare scenario. And I know that he can't or she can't give it to me immediately. I have to wait for the government, who now has a copy of it. And now, like, I don't feel good about this arrangement.
Yeah.
As just a software vendor. As a technology company, I do not feel good about this at all.
So, okay. This is kind of a half-baked thought, so just bear with me.
Which most of our thoughts are.
It's true. It's
just FYI.
So you know how in recent
we're thinking
news,
in real time, which is very
it's
dangerous.
It's very dangerous. But over the last several weeks, there's been a lot of talk of Kaspersky in the news, right?
Yeah.
And how, like, U.S. government said, we don't want your business here.
Right.
We can't be trusted, whatever.
Russia's
right?
bad.
Russia bad, right. So I just wonder if there are...
Yeah, are
know.
There any sanctions on China
right.
like this? Like, are we saying, hey, we are not going to do business with China?
Well, and I guess like in theory, I don't know.
It would shut down our economy if it did.
Like, let's just say somebody's here from China on work visa or whatever. They're
right.
here and they're some kind of a researcher and they're here on American soil and they're dealing with American companies, but technically they're going to head back to China. So are they still susceptible, do you think, to those laws?
So I would say in a way, yes. Right. So let's say I'm a Chinese national. I'm here on a work visa. I'm doing whatever. And I discover a flaw.
Yeah.
And I go, YOLO, I'm not in China anymore. And I give it to Apple. I give it to Microsoft. I give it to whomever. Right. And then CCP finds out that I did that. I'm going home one day.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be too pleased about it.
Yeah. Basically, everything's riding on the fact that they're going to find out. You just have to hope they won't find out that you did that. Huh. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, but just given that.
At the very least, your social credit score is going in the shitter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
And you're not going to be able to use the train.
So, like, is it worth the personal risk that you're taking to do that? Yeah. That's an action movie. I would watch that. Somebody like.
Absolutely.
They're doing what they can to.
Right. That would be a cool plot for a movie.
Good movie. Like, they're.
Someone who's like, this would benefit mankind. I have to get it out.
Yeah.
But my government is chasing me down and going after. They know I've got the secret plans to this.
That's the plot of a lot of movies, I feel like. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Of course it would make a good movie because it exists somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just not specifically about this.
It was an underrated movie, Eagle Eye.
Eagle Eye.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Really?
Yep.
Recent Shia LaBeouf or Shia LaBeouf in like 2008?
Early end of 2000s, maybe.
2008. Okay. Yeah. Jerry and Rachel. Jerry Shaw, that's his name.
It's like
movie.
A satellite in the sky. I could see everything. It was following. He's at AI. It was really cool.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that. Rosario Dawson, Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, all-star cast. Great.
Right.
I can get down with that. I'll have to add that to the list. But yeah, I like that you brought this up because obviously the story initially is like, okay, well, there's this exploit.
Yeah, we've got this problem.
Patch, da, 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 da. But that is...
But the researcher that discovered it was Chinese national.
Yeah.
Which means that the CCP has had this for longer than Microsoft.
And it, yeah. Just...
Does that make you feel good? I don't know.
I would think like responsible disclosures, like as soon as you can, you tell the vendor or whoever it is that can fix this. So it just seems like it's antithetical to like, why
the
would you?
The whole purpose of responsible disclosure is to keep it out of the hands of everybody else.
You want
to
address it
as
soon as you can.
You want as few people on this as possible, as far as like having access to the fact that this vulnerability exists until it's patched.
That's just, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
Because last time I checked, and the United States does this, at least this part as well. If we discover 0 days, if we have NSA hackers discovering 0 days, they'll hold on to them. They become a part of their kit unless they think it's so findable, which they have done in the past, I think, where they're like, yeah, we're not going to be able to keep the lid on this and use this for very long. So let's just go ahead and disclose to Microsoft, right? So it's not that we don't do something similar. We just don't make researchers give it to us.
Yeah. I just would think if I'm in a position similar to that, right? What would you say? NSA? If I work for them, I'm an agent there. I'm not, clearly. But like if I did work for them and I find something and it's like, oh, I'm going to hang on to this. We can use this, whatever, right? Because, oh, it's fine. It's not that big a deal. Nobody's going to find it. Well, then eventually if it does end up coming out and somebody's, oh, it's been exploited and da da da, am I not then kind of partially responsible because I knew about it and didn't say anything?
In America?
I guess, yeah. Or in general.
Well, it just depends, right?
Yeah.
If you're bound by your law not to, then I don't know how you could be blamed.
Yeah.
Right? You would be putting yourself at extreme, or could be possibly putting yourself at extreme risk.
Right.
So, but if you were in America and you had this and you were, if you sat on it and you thought this is extremely exploitable, extremely findable, I'm not going to be the only person that found this, then maybe you're like criminally negligent in some way.
Yeah.
Right? If you work for the NSA and you discover these things and you disclose to your bosses that you have found this and then they don't, like you've run it up the chain of command.
You've done what you're supposed to do.
And ultimately, like anything you've done as an NSA employee is... It's national security.
Yeah.
Like you can't disclose it. You take it.
You don't have the clearance to.
Right.
Yeah.
You take it to your bosses and your bosses. And maybe that was the thing with here. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Again, I read an article on the internet.
Man.
Anybody with like more information about this is a really interesting topic.
Yeah,
honestly.
Definitely. There's definitely a lot of like legal and ethical conversations to be had, I think, around that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting implications there. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's Thanks for bringing
now.
That up.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a.
Just thought that was like a WTF moment, you know?
Well, hey, you know, since you brought it up, speaking of WTF moments, I think it's time that we end the show with one of our favorite segments, pork chop sandwiches.
Pork chop sandwiches. Oh, shit.
That's not what he says.
Christian's doing our audio.
He's
cues
doing
for
the
us.
Audio for us. It's like it was. It
I think
was
we
worse.
Should just replace the sounds with Christian doing a narration. That's what I think.
Not so, for that one.
So
I want the
oh, yeah,
full
that's true.
Audio.
That's true. Right? Yeah, and also Christian would get in some trouble, so
he would.
Probably not.
He would.
We kind of talked a little bit about this, and Daniel was like, yeah, this is definitely a WTF. There's a plane tracker called FlightAware that just admitted user passwords and social security numbers have been exposed for years. For years this has been going on. I believe about 3.5 years, to be exact. Made the admission via a notification filed last week with the Attorney General in California. Says the leak began January 1st, 2021, and was detected on July 25th of this year. So it's been ongoing, and then was detected about a month ago, I guess, and now it's been disclosed. And the full list of data points is just so wonderful. Of course, it's all the standard stuff, like email addresses and names and passwords, but also information about your credit card number, the last four digits, and social security number, I believe, is the big one that people usually tend to get worried about.
Everything you need to like sign up for something.
Yeah. Everything you need to. It's an identity theft kit. Just wrapped up nice with a bow for you.
So what made this a pork chop sandwich is for me, and this is Sophia's article. You found this article, right? I was like, who's using this app? Because you said that one of the data points was like pilot status, information about aircraft owned.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this for pilots? Is this for businesses that lease airplanes, or like, who is using this app? And then as we read the article and we looked at it a little bit more, it was like, and we went to the website, if I'm not mistaken, Sophia, I think
yes.
You kind of jumped over to their website and it seemed like it was for everyone.
I mean, yeah, you can use their website to search for flights and stuff, but then they also
the aircraft enthusiasts.
And the app is free.
Yeah.
But yeah, aircraft enthusiasts and pilots being one of the groups.
Okay. You didn't say that before. About it being free.
Oh, yes. So that's because I didn't know.
You didn't tell me that.
I didn't know that.
All right. So let's play a fun game. We're getting ready to have some fun here live on and in color.
Oh, boy.
Right? So we're looking at what made this pork chop sandwiches. Yeah, the airplane thing app, tracking app. And it's been leaking data for years. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, these things happen. But then we were looking at, I was like, all these data points, like, wow, man, this is a shitload of data. Like, what are they doing? They're collecting a bunch of stuff. Why do companies collect data?
Because they can sell it.
So they can sell it. And when you did, what you didn't tell me before was that the app is free.
Because I didn't know.
I know. It doesn't matter. You just told me now.
Yeah.
I'm not accusing you of
anything. I wasn't like withholding information.
This is what I got to live with. You can't just observe a fact. It has to be accusatory.
Because you said like, well, you didn't tell me that before. I'm like, well, yeah, but
which
not
is
on
true.
Purpose. Yes, it is. It is a free app.
It was a piece of information I was not aware of until just now.
There are in-app purchases, but it looks like it's just to pay for like the ad-free version. Which they still shouldn't be required to collect the credit card information for, because you can do that through the App Store.
How the hell is it getting a credit card?
Yeah, so I'm wondering, because then there were people in the comments talking about how they had like a subscription. And it is the same app. It's FlightAware. It is the same app that they're talking about. So I don't know if this is like, without actually going in and like creating an account and downloading the app, I don't know. There's not a ton of information about it on their site. It's just like, it's free.
Did you fill out we should get like a... Spin up a
burner account.
Yeah, like a burner account. Let's install the app and see if it asks for a credit card number.
FlightAware installed on my computer or on my phone?
No, not on any of your actual devices.
Well, but I can't.
You got a huge data leak. You didn't read the article.
But I'm saying I can't like sign up for it, I don't think, without downloading the app.
So what I mean is like run Jenny Motion or something with like a virtual machine, or go buy a phone.
Oh.
That's $20 at Walmart.
I'm not gonna do that.
And you go, shh, shh, shh. That's why we Jenny Motion.
Do you not know me? How lazy I am? Hey,
come on, man.
I'm not doing that. And when I okay, so I can join
least amount of effort, ladies and gentlemen.
I can yeah. Work smarter, not harder.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I justify it.
Yeah.
I can register for FlightAware on their website. But it doesn't ask for any of that information. It asks for a first and last name and email address, username and password, and that I'm older than 16. That's all it asks for initially on the first registration page. But beyond that, it's like, okay, I can be joined FlightAware. It brings me to the same page. So they don't do a great job of advertising. Like, oh, usually it'll be like, here's the subscription plans we have if it's paid. So it is just odd.
It's such a weird thing.
it's pork chop sandwiches. Why?
What the
whole thing is a giant
sickle is going on with this app? Why are people using it? Why do they have so many things? Like,
and
how many people are 12 million registered users?
Yeah.
12
for what?
Million register. What are you doing with this?
Well, and you can use it to track flights, right? So like if I'm going on a plane.
So does my American Airlines app.
So that's just it. It's like you can usually do that.
Which I already have installed so that because when I'm on a stinking flight,
I
want to have the in-flight experience.
And like I can send my mom my flight information and she can just click that link and without creating an account or sending in anything, she can track the flight. So it's like.
So what are 12 million people doing with this on their phone?
It is interesting. And I think regardless of whether maybe they have paid options and maybe it's a subscription thing and you don't know until you had the account for a few months, and all that. Regardless, they shouldn't have a social security number. They don't need that. So that to me is like, whether you've got my credit card information or whatever, whether I've paid you for something, what do you need my social security number for? And I guess it's just if they ask, people tend to just be like, okay. Like it's just, people get so used to giving information away. Like, you need my username. Okay.
Sure.
You need my name. Okay. You need my number. My social security number. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with my mom the other day about like, you go to the doctor and they ask for it and you don't technically have to give it.
So fun story, right?
Oh, okay.
When I went to ITT Tech because I thought at the time they were on every TV, every commercial break at ITT Tech. You want to get a job in tech. This is where you go. It's what you do. All these success stories. I don't know if you remember the commercials, but they were huge.
Okay.
So I went to ITT Tech. And one day after like the first semester, somebody from their job services came to our class and was like, hey, we want to be able to help you guys get jobs, right? That's the whole thing we do. I'm like, cool. Sounds awesome. I totally want a job in tech one day. That's why I'm here. And they had us fill out this form to give them authorization to kind of like act on our behalf to look for work and to share our resumes and things like that.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Following you so far. On that form, guess what was on there that they requested as part of the information?
Did they want your social?
They want a social security number.
Odd.
And I just went like that.
At ITT Tech.
Yeah. And the guy goes, yes, how can I help you, young man? Because I was a young man at the time.
Sure.
And I said, what do you need my social security number for? He goes, so that I can differentiate between you and the next person in line. I go, but yeah, there's also a box right here that says student ID. Are they not also different?
But and also name.
My student ID number is different. We could have the same name. That's possible.
Sure.
Right? But my student ID number, which they gave me a card with my picture on it.
Yeah.
That is student, like, there's an ID number on there. Is that not different from everybody else's and will be continue to be different? Why do you need my social? And he got all pissy with me. And was like, well, if you don't want our help, don't fill it out. I go, no problem. Now you can go romance yourself.
I wonder if you had put like a fake or just left it blank. I wonder if they ever would have noticed or if they just put it on there because
to me, it was just like, again, I grew up being told you do not use your social security number as a form of identification.
Yeah.
Why are you asking for it from me as a form of identification?
If you're not the IRS and I'm not filing my taxes.
Especially when you have a very valid and useful built-in homegrown form of ID for your services.
That you gave me and you're not going to use it. Yeah, it seems like there's 100 other things you could use for identification before you have to use a social security number.
Yeah.
Even just like even if we had the same name, we were both Daniel Lowry. Thank God we're not. But even if we were, we've got different birthdays. We've got like there's so many other different. So it just, I don't know that there's a lot of defendable cases for asking for an SSN and certainly not like keeping it and like, what do I know though?
Right.
What do I know?
I can see it with banks, tax forms, anything government.
Right.
Right. Obviously anything government, the government issued it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. If I'm, like I said, if I'm paying my taxes.
Losing my mind.
It's because you didn't have your monster. So
this is the problem. You see the problem, ladies and gentlemen.
He's never going to buy.
I don't get my fix.
He's just scratching your arm the whole time.
Listen, man, y'all got that zero sugar monsters up in here.
It could be worse.
I need one, man.
It could be worse. I'd rather you be addicted to that than anything else. So we'll let you go take a trip to the local gas station.
Thank you.
So you can get your fix. We'll go.
Fun. We'll go ahead and,
yeah, Yeah, thanks so much for this is the most based episode of Technado we've ever done. So thanks for that. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought. Subscribe so you never miss an episode in the future. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed today's show, consider subscribing so you'll never miss a new episode.